It's time to learn what the hell should we watch this weekend. SteveStebbing.ca is his website. His name, also coincidence, is Steve Stebbing.
Hey.
What came first, the website or the name?
Ooh, that's the mystery.
So was it... So you were like, hey, my name's Steve Stebbing. I should have a website, Steve Stebbing. Or were your parents like, hey, we've got this extra website called Steve Stebbing.
Yeah.
Let's name the kid that.
Back in 1981, they were like, this website...
Well, they were very advanced.
Yeah, they were super, super advanced. They should have been so advanced that they should have played the stock market. And we would have been having a different conversation right now. I'm doing good.
Penticton, BC. Yeah,
I'm doing good. I mean, it rained today, which is weird. But it's like that precursor because it's been gray for the last little bit. So it's like easing us into the fall, the dreary fall, and the seasonal depression of winter coming.
That's good. Thanks for all the positivity, Steve.
Yeah, people know what that's about. What we're here for. You know, it's all a shared trauma that we go through, so we might as well know that we're not alone.
There's an awful lot of people listening right now going, I wish I lived in the weather in Penticton. Come on.
Well, I mean, it's lessening, so still not horrible. Like, we're still above 20.
That's not horrible. You need to look at a weather map of the rest of the country, my friend. What the hell should we watch this weekend? Steve is an expert of movies and TV shows. Let's get started with Bros.
So what's happening? Didn't you guys have an announcement?
This is a little unexpected, but we are in a throuple situation. Yeah.
You're in a throuple? Let me tell you what's progressive now. Being alone.
I love my life. I love my freedom. I love my independence.
That's kind of sad.
That I don't want to be in a throuple. I don't even want to be in a couple.
Okay, before you start, Steve Stebbing, we need to go to the millennial Ryan O'Donnell and get clarity of this young person term about what is a throuple.
Crickets.
Yeah. He's working on it. His eyeballs are really big. Did you break your microphone?
Okay, so here's the thing. I have no idea what a throuple is, dude. No clue.
You don't?
BK? No, I don't. Hold on.
BK lives in downtown Vancouver. He's probably in a throuple every weekend.
People. I couldn't handle two of them at the same time.
I can weigh in on this.
Okay. There are all the swingers in Penticton. Steve Stebbing, what's a throuple?
It's a three-way couple. It's a couple that was a couple, and then they bring somebody else into it. It's a throuple.
But I mean, it's not a side piece or anything like that.
No.
It's literally
you
a couple
share.
With three people.
You all share. It's a sort of polyamory, but I think it's all at the same time. Like you share all. It's a throuple. It's not just the couple. It's three
person relationship. Anyway. This relationship advice brought to you by Steve Stebbing. Tell us about Bros.
This is kind of the first like big gay rom-com and kind of doing the cliche route of what rom-coms are, heterosexual rom-coms, but in a gay storyline. Billy Eichner is the star of this one. He also co-wrote it with Nicholas Stoller, and Luke McFarlane plays the love interest in this. Two gay men that are really not into relationships but find that they want to make it work with each other, and it's like really heartfelt, feels genuine. The chemistry between Billy Eichner and Luke McFarlane is so great, and it's also extremely, extremely funny. And it's also really cool because the entire cast in this one is basically made up of the entire LGBTQ community. I mean, you have trans actors in this one, non-binary actors, gay actors, bi actors, lesbian actors. Like it's a real cornucopia of people in this film, and it really like hit me in the heart. It's like a really well done film, beyond being a rom-com, which is something that usually doesn't resonate with me, but this one works really well. I really liked it.
SteveStebbing.ca. He has a blog too, by the way. What the hell should we watch this weekend? Hocus Pocus 2. It's a remake time.
Gilbert,
Where did you get that candle? We have to get out of here. The witches will be here any second. Ah! The book is alive.
He woke up?
If we intend to live past sunrise, we have to steal their souls.
Whoa, wait. Can we talk about this?
No.
It's not really remake, more reboot, no. But it's not really a reboot, but it's just been a really long time.
Yeah, it's been almost 30 years, and this is a sequel, like a long gestated sequel, basically about three teen girls that unwittingly unleash the Sanderson sisters on their Salem town, and just brings back Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy as the Sanderson sisters, and they slip back into these roles like it's an extra skin, and that they've had it in their mind for decades now. And I will say that arguably this is Sarah Jessica Parker's best role. I like beyond Sex and the City and all this other stuff. She is so much fun in this movie. And Bette Midler, she's almost ageless in this movie. The energy that she has, and it was a lot of fun. Like I was expecting like more of a cash grab, being that, you know, Disney Plus is trying to reinvigorate this Hocus Pocus franchise and everything, but it really, really, really works. It's funny, and it has Kathy Najimy, who animation fans will know as Peggy Hill on The King of the Hill, and just seeing her again in a movie was really awesome. And yeah, more of her and stuff, please. Like, if any Hollywood people out there are listening, cast Kathy Najimy in more stuff.
Steve Stebbing, leading up to Halloween, from The Witches of Hocus Pocus 2 to Dead for a Dollar.
I'm getting out of here next week. Serve my time.
I heard you've been telling people the first thing you were going to do when you walk out of here is get a gun. Look me up.
I never killed nobody that wasn't trying to kill me.
Stay clear of me, Joe.
You do the same. Otherwise, most likely you're a dead man.
Pardon me. All right, Steve, tell us about Dead for a Dollar.
Genre that really doesn't get used a lot these days. So it was really cool to see that they did make a Western, and it has Christoph Waltz and Willem Dafoe and Marvelous Miss Maisel's Rachel Brosnahan's in this. And it comes from Walter Hill, and the guy kind of ruled the 80s. I mean, he did The Warriors, 48 Hours, another 48 Hours, then moved into the 90s with Last Man Standing and a bunch of other stuff. And I mean, he was a producer of Aliens and everything. Like, he had a hold on cinema, but now it feels like he really doesn't have that handle anymore. As interesting as the story is, like kind of like a bounty hunter story in the Old West, there's nothing interesting about how this movie was shot. The music's really bad. Even how they're blocking the script doesn't really kind of work or add any kind of excitement. This movie just kind of happens on screen, and there's really nothing to it. And when you have Willem Dafoe and Christoph Waltz in a movie and you're not enthused with it, you got a problem.
Interesting. What the hell should we watch this weekend? Steve Stebbing is our guest, and let's get on to the Blu-ray selections. Sound of Metal.
Your hearing is deteriorating rapidly.
We'll come back. Till then, Lou, we just keep going, okay?
No.
Lou, no. Let's play them all. Let's see what it's like, okay? I'm gonna be like a click track. You can play to me. You understand me? I can't. I'm deaf. I'm deaf.
Okay. It's not what I thought it was going to be. I'm a little surprised, but there's some film festival connections and stuff here, isn't there?
Yeah, because I originally saw this during the, I think it was the 2020 Vancouver International Film Festival, the year that it was virtually done, and was absolutely kind of blown away by this film. It's led by Riz Ahmed, who has honestly not done a film that I have not been on board for, but basically he plays a heavy metal drummer who is rapidly losing his hearing to the point that he actually does go deaf, and he's trying to come to grips with being deaf, but at the same time in denial of it and believing that he can still continue on his life in excess as it was before. And this is such a deep character drama. And I mean, the deaf community in this, a real deaf community in this is kind of portrayed in such an interesting and fascinating way. And the way that the director and writer, Adarius Martyr, handles the audience's perception of going deaf is utterly fascinating. It's got one of the most interesting sound designs I have seen in a movie in years. And now it makes its debut on Criterion Blu-ray, which is exactly where it should be because it's kind of the pinnacle of Blu-ray collectors' items.
What else should we watch this weekend? Steve Stebbing is our guest. I'm Shane Hewitt. And let's go down to the Mighty Ducks Game Changers Season 2.
Welcome to Epic. You were invited here because you are the best of the best. What I want to know is, can you be better? Do you want to be a legend?
Yes! Oh,
is he a trash can? Sorry, you know where a trash can is?
I'm sorry, who are you?
We're the Mighty Ducks.
They're the Mighty Ducks?
All right, so the original from so long ago, is the magic still alive, Steve Stebbing?
You know, I'm going to be really honest about this one. It's very Disney Channel, and it's very much made for the kids, but I am still hopelessly addicted to the show. I really enjoyed season one. Season two has a whole bunch of hurdles to get over, though, because due to kind of COVID protocol circumstances and everything, Emilio Estevez left the show. Like, he is not involved with season two at all. So they've had to write around that. So basically they're sending the Ducks to a hockey camp that's run by Josh Duhamel's character, who I was really happy to see appear in this one because I really like him as an actor. But it's still got that style, and it still has those cameos from the original Ducks that show up here and there. I mean, it's just fun to watch with the family, and even if the kids aren't into it, I still think it's an entertaining show.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.